find the okay, so I had a large Hitachi, which I'm now calling the father, which I lost somewhere.
Oh.
And I was like, maybe I'll buy a mini.
In someone.
And no, I didn't lose it in someone. That's a really big. The father is very large.
Yeah.
So I looked into purchasing the son. And the reason why I'm saying this, it's
They make you say, "Oh God."
oh yeah. Well, today then I was looking for what would be the Holy Ghost of vibrators, and I found like a little ghost sucker, like a little clit sucker. And I was
Cool.
like, yeah, there's also like Pope dildos. But
Yeah, that's
anyway,
yeah.
so
Folks.
the reason why I'm so fixated on this whole thing is because on the website, this is the copy for the Hitachi Magic Wand Mini. Compact in size, same legendary power. Born into such a famous family, this little wand has quite a reputation to uphold.
Oh wow. That's a lot of
So,
pressure to put on a dildo.
to put on a little guy.
Yeah, you
But
know.
actually, I think that is correct. Same legendary power.
Well, good.
So, yeah. So the father is gone. We're on to the son. I bought two.
Well, what do you need not to
What?
use at the same time?
No.
Okay, because I was like, that's where that's too much. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't know
Just
nothing.
wielding two Hitachi magic wands, like I pull them out of my.
Like you're fucking Darth Maul.
Yeah, I pull them out of my little like sheath and I'm like, psh.
Thwom. Nyom. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I walk into a kink party.
That's good.
Just
Yep.
magic wands a blazin'.
Welcome to Fangs for the Memories. Willkommen. Bienvenue. Welcome to the Buffyverse.
I
We'll
know
get
why you
into
did
that.
that.
You know why I did that?
I
That's
do.
great. I'm so
Yeah, I'm
excited.
excited.
Oh my God, we have so
Okay.
much to talk about.
We're starting on the same page.
Excellent. Yeah, the same page.
Yeah.
Great. Well, my name is
La même
Leslie.
page.
La
Oh,
même
sorry.
page. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
French time. Yeah, my name's Leslie. Je m'appelle Leslie. I have a French language minor, and
You
I
do.
cannot speak French to save my goddamn asshole.
Nice.
great stuff. Anyway, yeah, I'm Leslie. I live in South Philly. My pronouns are they, them. And my co-host, as always, is Kate. Hello.
Hello, je m'appelle Kate. When I was in French class, I asked for my French name to be Monique.
Ooh,
Yeah, because I thought it was
that's good.
very fancy. Unlike
Yeah,
Kate.
that is
My
fancy.
pronouns are she, her, or they, them. And I also live in South Philly where we don't get to speak French very often.
Yeah, not a lot of French happening
No.
around here.
It's not a huge French
French community.
population in Philly du Sud.
That's good. I don't
Oh,
know if that's good or
merci.
not. Yeah, I don't actually know if that's good. It's good for me
I
personally.
think that's like 75% accurate.
Yeah, which is as close as anybody's ever gonna get.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's start the show. Show with some vibes. How you
Vibes.
feeling? What are you feeling? What's going on with you?
I watched a very weird movie last night that like I should have watched a long time ago. The movie Altered States. Have you seen that movie?
No. Is that
It's a
about
cat.
being high?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, not
Okay.
even kind of, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a Ken Russell movie. He directed The Devils, which is a movie that I love. And a bunch of his movies are on Criterion right now. And Altered States is like very loosely based on John C. Lilly, who was like this wild American scientist who did a lot of LSD in isolation tanks and also like gave dolphins acid. Because he was hoping, and like he worked for the government. Like, I'm pretty sure it was some sort of project to make like dolphin super soldiers.
Right, like the men who stare at dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I
Yeah. They
gotcha.
started with goats and moved on to dolphins. I don't know. I don't know
Yeah.
what the order was. But it's a really wild movie. I think it's great. There are some problematic elements of like indigenous tribe stuff in Mexico and like taking psychedelics. Like, I have a feeling that Ken Russell just kind of made up a tribe and was like, yeah, they would wear like white paint on their faces, right? Similar to a certain
A
Mr.
certain
Whedon. Who might also do something like that with the first Slayer in Joshua
Interesting.
Tree. But yeah, so it's like you do have to, that part is not great. And it was especially weird because we had just watched Embrace the Serpent, which is like an actual movie about like where like indigenous people are actors in the movie. And so you're like, okay, this is
Okay.
like a very like, this is a more like authentic
At least,
movie.
yeah, at least it's an effort has been attempted.
Yeah. And like Altered States is just like, no, not at
I
all. But anyway, William
know.
Hurt is in it. You see his butt a lot.
Cool.
A young William Hurt. Young Will Hurt. And Bob Balaban is his sidekick.
I don't know who that
So
is. Who is that?
he's just like a guy who is in a lot of
Okay,
movies.
just a guy.
If you see him, you would
Okay.
know. Like, I feel he was in like Waiting for Guffman,
Oh,
A Mighty Wind.
okay.
Like, he's one of those
Oh, he's
guys.
one of those guys. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, if you saw him, he's like, oh, that guy.
Okay. I'm gonna look at him.
Yeah, look at him. Look at him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's in a lot
Yeah.
of Wes Anderson movies too.
He's that guy.
Okay.
But yeah, this movie's really fun, and there's like a lot of like kind of amazing like 80s mechanical like scientific equipment that I think
Oh, I
is like
love
fun to
that.
look at.
That's
Just a lot
good.
of like big clunky metal stuff. Yeah, and you get to see William Hurt's butt.
Never
It's
not a
great.
bad thing.
Never not a bad thing. Yeah, he's a tall man.
He is, yep.
Or Bob Balaban is really short. Or both.
Bob Balaban, I know it for a fact, is very diminutive. Yeah.
It's fun to say his name too.
Yep.
Bob Balaban. Bob Balaban.
Bob Balaban. That was my favorite high school drama club tongue twister exercise to warm up.
Oh yeah.
Just saying Bob Balaban as fast
Red
as you
leather Bob
can.
Balaban. What's the one that's like watermelon? No. Something
What?
watermelon. Watermelon
Oh,
bubblegum.
that's what you say. That's what you mouth when you are like in the
Yes.
background of a movie or something and you want to pretend that you're
Yes.
talking.
Or you're lip syncing and can't remember the words, I
Yeah,
guess.
yeah.
That's what
Because it's
drags me
like,
insane to say like watermelon bubblegum.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
Yeah. We pride ourselves in sharing secrets here on Thanks for the Memories.
Yeah, we're not gonna girl boss, we're not gonna gaslight, we're not gonna gatekeep here.
No, behind the
That's not
scenes.
yeah, behind the candelabra.
I liked that movie. Anyway.
Matt Damon's funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's your vibe? My vibes are movie. What are your vibes?
A movie. My vibes are a video game that I've... I did it, Kate. I did it again. So remember how I said I like 100%ed The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, a game that I actively dislike.
Yes, I do remember this.
Its sequel came out last year, maybe, I can't remember. It came out a while ago, and I like it even less. It's actively terrible. And it made so many people's Game of the Year lists, which just fucking baffles me to no end, because that game is a dump. To me, I want to preface that by saying, to me, if you like it, that's totally fine.
If you like just it, something... you're a piece of shit.
No, Kate, no.
Dumb.
You have idea. You have no idea what gamers are capable of. Please,
that's true. I didn't say that. Don't bring interest Holy in shit. Fandom. I think you guys are all amazing, gamers. And I respect...
Yeah,
you're
all
dedication.
Great. You're all handsome. You all smell great.
I want to fuck all of you.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I like the fact that your room smells like NOS and weed.
Yeah. I love when you don't have sheets on your bed. I love it.
I love a bed mattress.
Man, I love it. I love just being in touch with the mattress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's God's pillow, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I started replaying it. I bounced off of it. I didn't finish it the first time I played through it when it first came out. And then I'm close to 100%ing this one.
Nice. Good work.
I'm in between jobs right now. I'm starting a new job on Wednesday. So I had like a week and a half of free time. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the Fabric Museum and I'm going to do this and this and this. And I'm going to audition for more stuff. And that's not what happened. The weather has been bad. Yeah. So I've just been playing 100 hours of this game that I fucking hate. Just getting angrier and angrier at myself. I don't know.
I don't know why. I think it's funny. Because
people ask me, like, just walk away. Just stop playing. Or, like, why did you start in the first place?
Leslie, hit the bricks.
Hit the bricks, yeah. Just walk out. apparently that guy's problematic now, so I don't know if we want to evoke him. I don't remember what happened, but somebody said some shit.
Okay.
I don't know.
I loved your meme, but...
Yeah, well. Good memes, but, you know. Yeah, I can't tell you why. I don't know. There's something wrong with my brain.
Surely there must be a lot of good video games that you want to clock in 100
hours. Oh my god, my Steam account, my backlog on my Steam account is like 20 to 30 games deep. I have games from like 2017 that I haven't even touched. Hey there, suckers. It's Leslie. You know, back in my day, I worked at an adult shop in college, so I know a thing or two about fine adult toys, and that's why I really like bunnyshop.com. It's not your average adult store. You know, think of it as your very own adult shop, thoughtfully curated by your fashionable best friend. They take their selection seriously. They handpick each item for their aesthetics, safety, and top-notch quality. Bunny Shop is a modern love shop dedicated to elevating your most intimate moments. And here's the best part. You get to shop online in the comfort of your own home. And if you know me and you know how much I don't like talking to people, you know how much I love that. You're only browsing the best and cutest products out there. Plus, they ship quickly and discreetly, ensuring your little secret stays safe. So no matter where you are in your journey, whether you're a BDSM pro or completely new to the world of sex toys, Bunny Shop has got you covered. Their thoughtfully selected range includes toys, accessories, and wellness products to suit every desire and preference. And you know we love accessibility and inclusivity on the pod. So let go of any shyness and embrace your self-love journey with confidence. Save 20% off your order today when you use code FANGS. That's FANGS, all uppercase. So visit bunnyshop.com, BUNNY, shoppe.com.
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me of, like, I just started Sex and the City again. You know?
You know what I mean?
It's like a you know, like a blanket that's suffocating you slowly.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, you know, the trauma is comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And it's better to be in a comfortable, traumatic place than to be in a good place that feels unfamiliar to me.
That's true. Newness is scary.
Newness is scary, yep.
Sometimes it'll take me so long to watch a show that, like, I know I'm gonna love. Or yeah. A movie that I know I'm gonna love. Like, I'll just kind of save it, like, in a little corner forever. Like, you're gonna watch this and it's gonna be the best.
Well, it's like
ever.
It's like when you get a treat that you, like, eat or drink or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. you never want to finish it because that means it's all gone.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not, it's never gonna go away. Although the way streaming works nowadays, it might just fucking go away.
It might be gone forever.
Yeah. So better watch it while watching is good. Yeah. There. Oh my God. The segue is so
I was
good.
Not planning that segue.
That was seamless. Hell yeah. Love it.
Well, we've got some
good stuff.
Some Buffy stuff to talk about.
Some Buff stuff. Let's do
Buff
it.
Buff stuff. We're getting to the end of season 5, and we have 2 episodes that, like, kind of got, I feel like they got smushed in to get to 22.
Yeah.
They're okay, but
yeah, they're serviceable, but they definitely feel like filler.
Yeah. So our first episode, Forever, written and directed by Marty Noxon. A grieving and confused Buffy falls into the loving arms of Angel, who comes back to Sunnydale after gets word about the death of her mother. Meanwhile, a distraught Dawn takes it upon herself to perform a magic spell to bring her mom back to life.
Mm-mm. You cannot
do
mess
it,
with that
Buff,
stuff.
Or Dawn, whatever.
Don't do it, Dawnie.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, I feel like such a well-worn trope. The
yeah, of course.
Like, I'm, you know, deeply grieving, and I want someone to come back, and I've been warned they're not going to come back right, but I just want to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just take any opportunity to, like, hold that person again.
Yeah, just to see them, you know, just to ignore the fact that they are, or, like, sit with and really internalize the fact that they are gone, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's very funny that this episode has kind of a Frankenstein overtone to it, considering the first, like, 5 minutes of the of what happens yeah. of this episode. So, Buffy, they have the funeral, and it is really, like, sad, and, you know, it's very somber, and then everybody leaves and Buffy's still there, and then it's nighttime, and then Angel comes and hangs out with her, and then they just start making out right, like, 3 feet from her dead mother's grave, like Buffy's fucking Mary Shelley.
Listen, they don't fuck.
They don't fuck, yeah, that's
and
true.
And he leaves.
And he leaves, yeah. Because he would be like, I'm going to marry Shelley all over this place if you continue. So,
Angel said, oh no, my boner, and you're in the way again. He just keeps doing it. I mean, it's funny because I forgot for a minute. Like,
yeah, I was like,
why?
He's got to come back.
Yeah, and I'm like, why are they not just staying together? And then I was like, oh, right.
Oh, right. Cause he...
You know what they could do? Is they could hire a surrogate. Like, who kind of looks like Angel, or who dresses like Angel, who has sex with Buffy, and Angel just, like, sits in the cuck chair. And they could have a relationship. I think that would work. Yeah.
That's totally... Well, I mean, that would be a little bit like the next episode.
Yeah.
I don't know how ethical that is. I mean, unless, you know, consent all around,
it's like
then that's totally
sex worker.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, okay. It's not like the next episode, because it would be a consensual paid situation. and they would like make out, and then she would be like, Angel, get in the cuck chair, bring in the other one.
Yeah, I like this idea.
Thank you.
There's no way there's not Tumblr fan fiction of this already.
Yeah, you're probably right. There is.
I do want to say there was some top-notch acting. Just everybody's acting their balls off in this episode. Buffy really got me, especially at the end. I like legit started to cry when she's like breaking down, because she, the entire time, she's been very like, you know, taking care of things and like buying the casket and like, you know, keeping everything together, doing all this stuff for the funeral service, things like that with the programs and all. She's like doing all the administrative work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like when someone really close to you dies,
there's a lot of shit that you have to do that you didn't, nobody would even think about, you know?
Yeah. And like I feel like I've seen this happen like in my family, where like when my grandparents died, my mom has three other sisters. So it's like, you know, someone is the take charge, I will grieve later person, like, because that feels comfortable for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, someone is the one who drinks too much at the wake and makes inappropriate comments. You know, there's like a lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, always.
That's why Joyce didn't want to wake.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, honestly. Yeah. What else? Oh, okay, so yeah, Dawn. Dawn cannot handle that her mother is gone, which, understandable. Like, that's totally fine. So she asks Willow and Tara about resurrection spells. Tara's like, absolutely the fuck not. And Willow, in a hint of things to come.
Yes, yes. The beginning of Dark Willow.
Yeah. In a hint of dabbling in shit she shouldn't dabble with, guides Dawn sneakily to a book that has references to resurrection spells in it. So Dawn is like, I can do this.
Yeah.
So then she goes to the magic box, which I just noticed this watch that the sign for the store, like on the awning, is so fucking boring.
Like, what does it say?
It just says magic box, and it's like kind of in Comic Sans and like just very boring colors. And it's like you couldn't even put like, I don't know, like a crystal on there, some kind of logo. It's just like magic box. Here you go. Like Giles really needs to step up his like branding game if he wants to be relevant in a market for today.
But yeah, Anya could do that.
She's very creative and very business minded. Like she would understand the purpose of having a strong, recognizable logo and brand.
Yeah.
And color story. Like this is marketing 101.
But yeah, that was so fucked up that Willow did that. And then later, like, is confronted by Tara, and Tara's just like, how would she have gotten this book? Like, how did it happen? And like, Willow doesn't say anything. And
yeah,
I think that the implication is that Willow didn't realize it actually had like real information on it. Like, she thought it was just like a historical book, but still, you're leading Dawn down.
Yeah. You're planting the first breadcrumb in a series of breadcrumbs.
Yeah. And so I guess her next trip is running into Spike.
Oh, yeah.
Who, those two together is like always like a nice little.
So
treat.
Good. Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about Spike because he shows up in the beginning with flowers for Buffy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Xander and Anya, you know, don't let him in the door. But he talks about like how, you know, Joyce was the only one of the group that was nice to him. Like he made, she made him tea, like, and we've seen that, you know, we've seen the kind of like witty bantery relationship that they've had. Mm-hmm. And he like, you know, asks for little marshmallows in his cocoa and stuff like that. Like,
they want, I just really like that.
Yeah, they love passions together. Like, come on. Like, I just think that's so, that was a really cute relationship building that they did throughout the show, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah. And that like Spike wasn't there for Buffy.
Yeah.
Spike was there because he, like, genuinely liked
was
Joyce.
Sad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cute.
That was cute. I really liked that. yeah. And then Spike and Dawn are, like, team up. And it's funny because it's like, yeah, like, Spike knows that what Dawn is trying to do is a very bad idea.
Yeah, I'm sure he has seen his fair share of fucked up spells gone whack, you know?
Yeah, like mucked up resurrections.
Reservation Hardware is my favorite furniture store.
I got a mucked up reservation. Yeah, like, I'm sure he's seen resurrections that have gone horribly awry. We've seen resurrections that have gone horribly awry.
Yeah, we've seen
in
zombies.
Other seasons.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, no thank you.
Yeah, and, like, you don't... Nobody wants, like, a bad, scary Joyce coming back.
No.
With, like, her skin hanging off her face or whatever. Like, that's not gonna give you any comfort.
Yeah, no good.
But do you want to talk about the Resurrector? Who they go to visit?
Yeah, so Spike is like, I know a guy who can help you with a spell.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes Dawn to see a man who is credited as his character's name is Doc. Does he show up again later? I can't remember.
I think so. I felt
he's like
his, like
a character.
I felt like he did more in this episode, so that's why I'm thinking he shows up again.
Yeah. So he is played by the incomparable star of stage and screen, Mr. Joel Grey.
Yeah, what a great surprise.
What a great get, like, honestly, for a bit part, like, just incredible. And he is so good. He's just, like, his acting is just, it's almost a little bit too much, you know? He's, like, a little bit too good for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you know what I mean.
he's in the last episode also. Not of this season. He's
okay, yeah.
Yeah, so gotcha. We do see him again. Doc.
So, yeah, he's, I guess, a magic man. A mysterious magic man that Spike knows for some reason. And
he knows all the you know, the underbelly.
Yeah, he's Sunnydale. Kind of like... He's like the new Wally, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A guy that they go to for stuff. But yeah, he has a reputation of knowing about dark magics, particularly resurrections. So Joel Grey, obviously, if you don't know who Joel Grey is, oh my God. He was very famous on Broadway. He was the MC in Cabaret, starring Liza Minnelli. He was in, oh my God, everything. Most recently, he was in the revival of, oh my God, what's it called? Anything Goes. The musical, Anything Goes.
More like Joel Gay. Thank you.
That's not nice.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's in Nurse Jackie for one episode, and he plays a character named Dick Bobbitt.
That's great. I love that.
Right?
That's excellent. You want to know what else? I just found this out today, and then we're going to play our Guess the Age Of game.
Yeah.
He has a daughter. He has two children, I believe, but he has a daughter who is Jennifer Grey, who is in Dirty Dancing.
I mean,
and
you don't
the
have
sister
to tell
in
me
Ferris
who
Bueller's
Jennifer
Day
Grey
Off.
Is.
Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
I had no idea.
I didn't know they were related. I thought they were just two famous people. With
just
the same
two famous.
Last name.
Yeah, I had no fucking clue. That was like my mind was blown today.
Yeah, my mind was blown today.
So he helps Dawn with the ritual to bring her mother back, but then he has a weird moment with her as they're leaving. And his eyes turn all black and he turns into just, it's very subtle, but he turns very menacing. And Donna's like, ugh, like, whew. And then he just kind of goes back to normal.
Did you notice what he was humming?
Oh, Peter and the Wolf.
Coming. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So literally the only reason I knew that is because it was in the subtitles. I don't think I would have gotten it on my own. I'm not very good at guess the note, you know.
That was like my dad really liked classical music, and I guess that was like one of the ones that like he played a lot.
I like the Disney version.
Kids. Yeah, I mean Peter and the Wolf has like classic, amazing music.
Yeah.
But yes, perhaps he is the wolf.
Ooh. You never know.
And like he does seem like something is up with like maybe he has a tail or something.
You think he's
like,
got a tail? Notice?
I think he might have a tail.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know. He just there was a moment that like Don noticed like something going on when he turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, I don't actually remember. I don't remember if Doc has a tail. I just am. It just seemed like, you know, maybe he's some sort of demon.
Yeah, he's definitely not 100% human. For sure. Do you want to guess how old he was when this episode aired?
58.
Joel Grey was born in 1932.
Damn.
So he was 69.
Oh, nice.
When this episode aired.
Shit, that is nice.
The man is 91 years old, still alive, and still, can I tell you, still fucking looks good.
Yeah.
I looked at a picture of him today, and I was like, I think I would. I think I would, Joel.
Wow. Joel Grey, if you're listening.
Joel Grey, if you're listening, I would.
Leslie would.
Mm-hmm.
He's not acting. His last, it looks like his last thing was fucking, like 2022.
He's 91 years old and he's rich as God. Like, what the fuck do you need to do another movie for?
No, you're right.
He did win a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Tonys in 2023. So.
That's cool.
That's so cool. Good for you, Joel.
Yeah. I mean, it's always funny when someone like Joel Grey is just like, on a show and they don't ask him to like sing a little song.
Yeah. You know? Like, he's not like referencing, you know, being being in Cat or not Cats. Oh my God. Can you imagine
Cats?
If he was in Cats? Oh my God.
He was Mr. Mistopheles.
Yes. Cats. Oh my God.
He was actually in the butthole cut, but not in the
I swear I saw it.
And then they got rid of him. He actually quit. He quit when they got rid of the butthole.
Yeah, he thought that was
realistic.
Exactly. Yeah, he like that is so authentic to my character, Butthole Sam, Butthole Sam the cat.
Oh my God! What in the world?
I'm sorry.
So
anyway,
so Spike and Don.
Oh, yeah, they have to get...
more to say about Joel Grey.
No, I don't have any more to say about Joel Grey. So they have to get an egg from some kind of demon in the sewer. So that's their next stop. And I want to say I thought the wet puppet looked good. Like, it was a lot higher budget than we're used to. It was still very, like, stilted.
Yeah,
obviously, it wasn't,
five.
Like... Yeah, you know, they got season 5 money now. It was still very stilted, but not like... I thought the design of it was cool.
Yeah, I liked its multi-head, like, multiple heads.
Yeah.
And, like, the reveal of that, you know, that, like, it didn't look that scary when it was asleep, but it wakes up and it's like, oh, fuck, there's three of them.
It's like, worse, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it's cute to watch Spike and Dawn... you know, like, fight a demon together. Dawn, like, mostly just screaming and dropping eggs everywhere.
Yeah, so she cuts one and then fucking cracks it. So they gotta go back and get another one. And just, like, I don't know. The pacing of that scene was a little weird because it's like, oh my God, we get it. Spike is there to save Dawn. He doesn't want anything bad to happen to her. Like, we understand the motivation for this scene.
Yeah.
You don't need to break the fucking egg, and now we gotta, gotta do it again.
Oh, you gotta show, like, well, yeah, you have to show how much, like, Spike is willing to give up, I guess, for the summers ladies.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, I don't like seeing Summer's women in trouble or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, honey.
He's getting, like, yeah, tossed around in both of these episodes.
Yeah,
like, not,
he gets, like...
Not faultlessly.
Not, no.
Considering
everything
the next
he does
episode.
Is his fault.
But, like, yeah, he gets fucked up in these two episodes by defending the Summerses ladies. Summerses? Summers ladies.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, doesn't get a ton out of it. Although, I don't know. We can talk about that in the next episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next episode because I got a lot to say about that.
Oh, man.
So Dawn does the ritual. Like, they realize, you know, Willow's like, I gotta call Buffy and let her know what's going on. So she realizes what Dawn's doing, but it's too late. She has already recited the incantation and made the offering to Osiris?
Yeah, which is a real Egyptian, like, god. Which is strange, because, like,
yeah, but
most
is he,
of the
he's
things
not the
are made up.
God of death, is he?
No, I don't think so. Here, let's look up Osiris. But I think it's interesting, like, oh yeah, he's the Egyptian lord of the underworld.
Oh, the afterlife. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, good.
But it's interesting because, like, I looked it up because, like, normally they're fully made up.
Mm-hmm.
Which I always think is funny, like, if you look up Buffy demons and gods and shit, like, or, like, even, I mean, not, like, Glory, but, you know, like, some of the demons that they're like, this is an ancient demon from mm-hmm. whatever. Like, you look it up and, like, the only reference is Buffy,
yeah.
which is kind of funny and, like, sort of interesting because it's, like, a self-contained world.
It is interesting, but I think in terms of their magic, like, their summoning, their, like, actual, mm-hmm. like, action of doing magic, they do a lot of, like, you know, Tara and Willow do spells to, like, Hecate, which is, like, an ancient Greek god of magic. They all of the languages that they use, like, in the next episode, Giles is speaking Swahili, which is, we'll get to that. But it is actual words. He's not just speaking, you know, gibberish, you know, and a lot of the languages that they use to do spells in whatever language they use, like, Gaelic, I think, and old, like, Latin or whatever. It is a dumb translation. It's like, I am reciting a spell now, but at least they, like, make an effort to make that lived in the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think it's like, it's mostly like the demons, I guess.
Yeah.
That they'll be like, this is like an ancient, you know, Greek demon or whatever. And you look
right.
it up and it's like,
but it's
no,
like,
it's
no,
just
this
Buffy.
Never existed. Yeah.
Just a Buffy demon.
Yeah.
The ancient, yeah, it's like from the ancient demons of Southern California.
Yeah.
Monster manual.
We'll talk about that too, because there's...
Oh, man,
there's
so
a fucking
funny in the next...
Primeval, ancient, like, fucking vortex
in
Joshua Tree.
I mean, Joshua Tree probably is haunted, but it is funny.
Oh, yeah.
But it is funny, like, that, like, every single time it's like, oh, yeah, it's really close by.
Oh, yeah, it's in L.A. That's just fucking
Oh, yeah. You need to get to the primeval location of the first Slayer that happened before we had language.
Yeah, the
Slayer. Oh, yeah. It's like an hour drive on, you know, the freeway.
Take the 405 to the 10. Like.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that far.
Oh, God. So wild. So yeah, Dawn does the spell and something happens. Something's coming.
Yeah, something's coming. You see Flats walking
you see
Mom Flats.
I like the, because I was looking, like, you know, I saw the little, like, scrub bar at the bottom of my screen and I was like, we only got like 3 minutes left.
I know.
They're not gonna do like a two-parter, are they? No, but, like, what they did is so cool. You know, they have Dawn and Buffy have kind of like a come to Jesus moment together, and Buffy finally breaks down and says, you know, if I'm not strong, if I don't take care of all these things, then I will have to reckon with the fact that my mother is really dead and I will absolutely fall the fuck apart. And just top-notch acting from Sarah Michelle Gellar. Just absolutely, I was, like, devastated, you know, watching her
Well, and,
down.
Like, a really beautiful, reversal, you know, where Dawn has to be strong for Buffy.
Yeah. They're at the very end, she's like literally like holding Buffy up as they like collapse together in the front door.
And like Buffy's really mad at Dawn until, and then, you know, there's a knock on the door, and there, and then Buffy's like, "Oh my God, Mommy?" And she suddenly is like,
is the one that wants to see her.
I want to see her. And then Dawn is the one who realizes, okay, we got in way
she
over
has to
heads.
Break,
like,
the spell.
We shouldn't
yeah.
be doing that.
I think it's very cool that they showed as little as they did. And they made it more about the moment with Dawn and Buffy. It reminded me of, did you ever see that movie Cat People from like the 40s?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's very like, they never show like, you know, a cat people.
Yeah.
They don't ever show a cat people, but there's a
the
very famous
cat person.
Yeah. There's a very famous scene where this woman is in a swimming pool and it, there's like no sound. It's just the splashing of the water and it's, you don't see anything. There's like shadows and stuff, but you hear the, you know, you hear the cat people, the cat person. And that is far more scary than the, if they had shown an actual cat people.
Yeah.
And this reminded me a little bit of that. It was like the fact that they pulled that away was gave you so much more tension than if they had like showed
you see...
a you see a little bit. And even that I felt was too much. Like I wanted
Oh, really?
Just,
I like
yeah.
seeing just the feet and like maybe this the
I think the shadow
like, so
maybe across the window or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean there's so many things where it could be like that was nobody. You know, like
yeah,
it
maybe
wasn't
it never
Joyce
worked at
even...
all.
Yeah, like it that could have been like somebody knocking on the door to be like, "Are you registered to vote?"
I am. You're singing telegram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then nobody answered, and they were like, "Fuck it, I gotta get to the next one." But
why am I out here at 11:30 at night on a Thursday?
Yeah, exactly, man. I work too hard. But you know, it's like they're. Yeah, to me, it was, like, just enough. It was like, you know, okay, here comes Joyce. But, like, we don't want to know what Joyce looks like.
No.
Like, we don't need to see that. Nobody needs that. No one, like, that's not
No one wants that important. To be your last memory of them, you know?
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Imagine how much more traumatic it is to have, like, a not quite right mom come back.
Yeah, just to be like, know? Oh God, you know. So that was how that episode ended. And I thought that was really very satisfying ending.
Yeah. And then the next episode is Intervention, which was written by Jane Espenson, directed by Michael Gershom. A tale as old as time. Buffy travels to a sacred location on a solemn quest guided by the First Slayer with the hopes of uncovering why she has become emotionally paralyzed and to help regain her focus towards slaying. Back in Sunnydale, unable to have the real thing, Spike builds a Buffy robot who is a picture-perfect replica and so devoted... Okay, this is hilarious. So devoted to the rogue... that it leaves the Scooby gang reeling and Glory's minions convinced he is the key. They call Spike the Rogue.
Yeah, I honestly thought that was a typo. And I thought they meant ruse.
Oh,
but they're not talking about Spike. They're talking about Buffy. Buffy is the picture-perfect replica, and Buffy is so devoted to Spike the Rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just like threw me for a loop for a second.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't
okay, whatever.
That's,
yeah.
That's Timmy or whoever writes these synopses.
And they were like, look, they had their thesaurus out.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't write Spike one more time.
What yeah, exactly.
The Rogue. So the beginning of this, I think, is a. Are you okay?
I just have so many problems with this episode.
Well, guess what? I'm going to talk about French philosopher Alain Badiou.
Oh, thank God.
Instead
Save
of
me.
Instead of the first... Well, it's during the First Slayer shit, but I am reading this book by him and actually it reminded me of something lovely. So I was like...
Cool, okay.
This... episode has so many problems. But yeah. Anyway, I do like the beginning of this episode where Giles and Buffy are talking, and Buffy, I loved this line. I can beat up the demons until the cows come home, and then I can beat up the cows. But she
why
can't.
Why would you do that?
Why would you beat up a bunch of cows, Buffy?
They were saving the cows. Yeah.
She gets carried away. But yeah, she's worried that all of the training that's making her an excellent slayer is pulling her further and further away from humanity, is making it harder for her to accept and love people and let them into her heart, because you know, one of our favorite episodes earlier in the season, this is when Buffy and Spike have that like sort of cat and mouse episode, and Spike tells her that like she's kind of addicted to the thrill of like possible death, like mm-hmm. it gets her off a little bit. So I did enjoy that, and then it just sort of goes downhill.
Well, the first thing that I had a problem with was talking about like I wasn't there for Riley, which is like fucking bullshit. Like when it was, maybe that was something we didn't get to see as an audience, which would have been
it's like a line she's telling herself.
Yeah. And she says the same thing with Angel. It's like, what the fuck? What fucking show are you watching, Buffy?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this show definitely wants Buffy to always, like, be a martyr for some sort of cause.
Yeah, of course, because that's what gets Joss hard.
Yeah, like, it's like she is, like, the, like, typical working woman in that, like...
You can't have it all.
Everything is, like, yeah, the, like, social reproduction of, like, all of the actual family work she does. It mm-hmm. takes up as much time as her job, which is slaying. Which doesn't, as far as I can tell, doesn't pay bills either.
Yeah, so no.
Like, she's doing like, a lot of free labor. But, yeah, it's, I mean, I thought it was interesting. Like, I understand how she could feel that, like, she... builds up a lot of walls mm-hmm. because she has to be in contact with death so often. But I do think like she didn't push Riley away. I think they just weren't good partners for each other.
Yeah, it just made no sense to me.
Yeah. And like I think the thing about her mom, like I could understand that because like she and her mom like were at odds a lot about like what Buffy had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where she's like, I don't know if my mom knew how much I loved her. But that's also just, like, grief talking.
Yeah, that's true.
So, basically, what Giles suggests, she goes on a very conveniently located quest.
Which already is a fucking... the vision quest, the fucking go out into the desert and commune with a tiger or whatever is
I think
so...
it's a mountain lion.
Mountain lion, yeah, it's fine. It's just so played out. It's not only offensive, like obviously there are some, you know, Native American indigenous stereotypes that we have to contend with. It's just fucking boring. It's just
boring.
Like
nothing that interesting happens. I mean, I actually really enjoyed,
like,
I don't know if I enjoyed, I appreciate the message that the Slayer gave to her.
Yeah.
But it is a boring way to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I don't like that. I already have a problem because she does this several times, right? She's already done it once. She's already communed with. So they made a comic book of the first Slayer, like after the series was already done, that actually fleshed out her backstory and made her, you know, a fucking person instead of just a plot point to make Buffy like feel stronger. So her story is so fucking cool. So she, her name is Sinea, and she, is obviously from a village in Africa. They still don't say where, but she becomes the first slayer because the like shaman in her tribe or whatever, called the Shadow Men, make her half demon.
Mm.
They infuse her with like a heart, a soul, and a I don't know, three facets of a demon to make her powerful enough to defeat them. And so the village that she lives in, you know, they're obviously grateful that she, you know, saves them from monsters and stuff, but she is also kind of a monster to them. So they exile her out of the tribe or whatever. So that is like, that's a fucking cool. So now, you know, decade or not decades, but like hundreds, maybe a thousand years later,
yeah,
Buffy has to reckon with the fact that, like, because the First Slayer was separated from people, like, Buffy has to contend with the fact that, like, being a Slayer kind of has always meant that you are separated from normal life.
And right, and that you have demons. Yeah. Like, you, that's why.
How fucking, like, interesting would that be to see on a television screen?
Yeah.
Like, Joss, like, suck my dick. Ugh, I'm just so angry that we didn't get that, you know?
I know. Instead, yeah, so instead you get this sort of, like, poo-poo platter of, like...
poo-poo is right.
A poo... A
P-O-O-P-O-O, yeah.
Yeah, platter of native and like, African tribal bullshit. like, aesthetics and references, like... You know, there's, like, the music that's, like...
Yeah,
you
know, very, like, yeah, heavy drums and shit like that. Ugh,
yeah, and, like, you know, she's in the desert in Joshua Tree, which, like, why would there be an African-influenced
yeah,
tribal
what does that even
person?
Mean?
Why would, you know, like, what would the... Like, the specificity of it, I think, could have been, like, what makes it not... problematic,
yeah,
know? Like, it makes it, like, if you take the time to actually, like, think about who would have, like, been in North America in Southern California, like, 1,000 years ago or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, like, maybe you could have actually had some sort of, you know, done, like, 1 minute of research.
Exactly. Just one flashback. One, even a montage. Like, I'll take a montage.
If this person was, you know, if the Buffy lore that we accept as canon is, like, that this person was in Africa, then Buffy has to go on, like, a like, hallucinatory trip to go meet this person or whatever. Like,
she's gotta do peyote.
Yeah, she's gonna do some ayahuasca.
Something. Yeah.
No, we watch Buffy poop into a diaper and yeah. Yeah.
Get on a bus called Where.
Yeah.
Right? What was the acid bus called?
I think that's right. Oh god. But yeah, it's so stupid. It's so goofy, you know?
It's
like,
just, yeah.
And, like, I think it's really interesting to talk about, like, the lineage of Slayers. And, like, that is super interesting that, like, the First Slayer had some demon parts. And, like, that's
yeah.
the thing that Buffy needs to contend with for her whole life. That, you know, and that's also why she's attracted to demons. Like,
that, all of that would make everything about this show that is kind of a plot thread that is left hanging, it would close all that up. It would absolutely yeah. close all that up. I don't know.
So while I was watching this, that was making me lose my mind because of how goofy it was. What the one thing that the first Slayer says, you know, so Buffy is talking to her and she's like, I'm worried that I'm losing my ability to love. And the First Slayer says, your love is brighter than the fire. You aren't losing it. Love, give, forgive, risk the pain, it is your nature, death is your gift. And I was like, you know who that reminds me of? French Marxist philosopher Alain Badiou.
Okay, all right, let's bust up some Alain.
So I'm reading his book In Praise of Love right now
mm-hmm.
for Happy Valentine's Day. it sounds like a goofy book, like In Praise of Love, I feel like sounds like it would be in the self-help book
yeah.
Aisle. It's not.
It's also a movie starring Diane Lane.
Yes, yes. It's not. It's a book about sort of the, like, transformative potential of love. And that Love is, so I'll read one of the quotes. Love is a quest for truth in relation to something quite precise. What kind of world does one see when one experiences it from the point of view of two and not one? What is the world like when it is experienced, developed, and lived from the point of view of difference and not identity? That is what I believe love to be.
Interesting.
So yeah, so like he talks about how like love is about, you know, it's sort of like the ultimate risk taking, because it is like showing as much of your, like, sort of like over time revealing more and more of your truth to a person.
Yeah.
Or more people. I'm not gonna judge. But yeah, that like what a lot of you know, what like a dating app wants to do is kind of like find you someone who's like very similar to you, that like it's not about like taking any risks, it's just sort of like matching. And like, I'm not saying, this is absolutely not me saying like, you know what, date a conservative.
Yeah,
I don't think that's what he's saying.
Say,
that's not what he's saying either. He's saying more just like people are different, and like the way you fall in love is not like that. You know, it's like this moment of like chance, but that like the duration of it is like the necessary and important part. And that the duration of a relationship should be like of a tenacious adventure, it says.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you obviously want to be with someone or someones who challenge you, you know, who stimulate you in any way that, you know, in whatever way that gets your chug-a-lug going.
Chug-a-lug.
I don't know. God. I don't know, man.
Is that what it says on your dating profile?
Yeah. Someone.
I hope you can get my chug-a-lug
someone
going.
To be my chug-a-lug master.
But yeah, like, so, you know, like, in, I mean, I guess, like, to tie this to, like, Marxism, you know, that in a world that is, like, highly atomized and, like, designed for you to, like, try and be, like, an island, you know, that you can, like, you don't, you, it, like, praises so much self-reliance, like, to love and struggle with, like, the everything in the world is, like, an extreme risk with lots of reward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
that's what I was thinking of. Mostly because I was disassociating. I was like, yes, Buffy, like, with all of the like death and the sadness and the trauma that Buffy experiences, she's also like kind of open all the time to like change and possibility, and like, you know, like working with her friends all the time,
yeah,
and struggling. She's also like, she's not closed off to love.
No,
you know,
I don't think so either.
Yeah, so I think that's a good, like, I hope Buffy takes it in that like she wasn't closed off to love with Riley. She like made her best effort and it didn't work.
Yeah, and you know? I think every relationship she has had, even the really shitty ones, like I'm thinking of that Parker guy.
Oh yeah.
They've all been, and this is so like white women TikTok, but every relationship, whether no matter how bad it's been, has been a lesson for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's always something to take away from it and makes her, you know, her outlook changes, and, you know, she learns new things and retains new information. So, like, you know, it does make her stronger, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, being a slayer and being in love or having love is not, they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah. It's not incompatible.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because if we had seen the first slayer's backstory, that would hit so much more because of the 180 in Sinéa's experience, where she was alone and she did fight alone and she did not have people to help her, you know. And they talk about it all the time, like Buffy's so different because she has, you know, the Scooby Gang, because she has people to lean on, because she's not just an island. She has, you know, community that helps her with her slaying. And like that becomes a big thing once we get to the end of the series. But like they really missed an opportunity to set that up with this character who is not even really a fucking character. If they had made them a character, then all of these themes would hit with, you know, much more force.
No, I think you're totally right. Like, I think it's such a huge miss to like not flesh out this character earlier and like make her a real person. Because like, you know, I think it's like a great privilege also for Buffy to like have the ability to like make friends and have like, you know, like a team that she works with. Like obviously like, this woman was not given that chance at all. Like she did what she had to do, and like, you know, it's not like Buffy is, I guess it's like, you know, they make it out to be that like Buffy is really special because she does that. Because she has friends and whatever, and it's like, well, sure, but also it's like, you were just like a regular high school kid before this, so it's not like you were living in some sort of, like, other time. I don't know, like, she wasn't, like, taken away from her family.
Yeah, she wasn't like Kendra, you know, Kendra, or, you know, Faith to some extent, you know, where Kendra was, like, since birth, she had the potential to be the slayer. So she was like taken from her family and brought up to be a surrogate for the slayer just in case something happened. Like that was her whole life, was being the slayer or, you know, possibly being the slayer. So Buffy's situation is really different.
Right. And yeah, you have these like two women of color who like don't stick around very long.
They don't even
were slayer. Hmm.
Do you know what like title they gave this the character in the show? They don't give her a name.
Oh, I remember.
Do you know what they
told
fucking
me,
call her?
No.
Primitive.
Yikes.
Just the fucking word primitive. Like, I would love to. So she's played by Sharon Ferguson, who's like, look at her fucking IMDb sometime. Like, this woman has done a ton of shit.
Okay.
Like, she was in. She was on the Drew Carey Show, Alias, Glee, Grey's Anatomy. She's also a model. She also dances. Like, she won a, you know, she's won like awards and stuff for her shit. Like, incredible actress. Like,
yeah.
I think they just whiffed it so bad.
They did whiff it.
It's just insane.
Yeah, they're like, here, put on this like chalky white paint.
Horrible.
And like, stand behind a fire.
Fake, like, not even really dreadlocks they were trying to do, but, like,
yeah,
just...
Yeah, it's real bad.
It's just so bad. And the fact that, like, sometimes her, like, spirit guide or whatever also embodies Tara, or, like, takes the form of Tara, a white woman, like, I don't even want to fucking get into that. Like, just insane.
Yeah.
But it's that fucking, like, early 2000s, like, fake... bullshit of like, aren't we so brave to put, you know, a woman of color or person of color in this role and have them be so important to Buffy's, you know, journey, but like not give her a fucking name and call her primitive. Like, it's just depressing.
It's gross. It's crazy to me that like we once, I mean not we, but like Buffy fandom
was
once
like
worshipped Joss Whedon,
totally okay with that.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is great.
I have a story
because
I looked at the like behind the scenes. I don't want to bring the show down, but I think this is really important to talk about.
Okay. No, I mean,
this is on the Buffy
Wiki. We're
talking
about French philosophy.
Was good though. I liked.
No, that's uplifting. Yeah. He's a very he's a major idealist in the world of French philosophy.
Cool. I like that. That was, and that's also very like an easy concept to digest, you know, not very abstract. So this says, according to costume designer Cynthia Bergstrom, Sarah Michelle Gellar and Joss Whedon disagreed over the Buffy bot costume. We didn't even really talk about that.
Well, yeah,
do we
want
to talk
this
about
as
that?
Our lead.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll use this as our lead in. So there is a Buffy bot.
Yeah.
For
so there's
Spike to have sex with.
Fucking. Wonderful. Yeah, built by Warren,
our incel friend Warren.
Yeah, who made his own fembot. And he'll come back, which is great for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they disagreed over the Buffybot's costume. On the day of filming, Whedon took out his frustration on Bergstrom. Sarah was adamant about it being a certain way, her costume. The costume she wanted was a bit grandma-ish, a pleated skirt with a high neck. Joss definitely wanted it to be sexier. I was like, Joss, let's just get her dressed. He grabbed my arm and dug his fingers until his fingernails imprinted the skin. And I had to say,
ew,
you're hurting me.
Jesus.
Like, can you fucking imagine?
Yeah.
Just
that man.
Like, no, it's no secret that he was, like, abusive verbally and, like, emotionally, to especially to the women, singularly to the women on this show. But, like, to that extent, I honestly actually had no idea. That's just really incredible. Like, incredibly terrible.
I just, yeah, like, the godlike qualities that he was, like, imbued with on the set is just so
insane,
freaky. Yeah, like, he was just involved in everything, and, like, you couldn't do anything that he didn't like.
Yeah. Do you think it's because, you know, 2001 was not a big time for the internet really at all? I didn't get a computer till like 2003, I think. Do you think, like, it's because of that we, you know, because obviously you can't do that shit today. Somebody would tweet immediately and be like, you know, this guy's, like, hurting people on set. And there would be, you know, a shitstorm about it immediately. Do you think it's because of that? Because, like, there wasn't that sort of level of closeness between TV or media makers and the audience, the fans?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the other thing too is, like, you know, there's all these rumors about, like, the set of Lost and how fucked up it was, and that guy's still making shit. It's not like it actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I it's not like Joss Whedon is not making things.
Oh yeah,
either,
absolutely.
Right? Like, I mean, it's like more people know about it, and I guess you have the opportunity to be like, I'm not going to consume that media, like, while that guy is still working there.
Yeah.
But it's not like it stops them from doing whatever they want.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just...
But, yeah, like, it's not... It's definitely not something that any of us knew about.
Yeah. Until, yeah.
Because,
I just feel bad. I just feel bad. It's dumb, but I feel like I should have known when I was watching this for the first time, you know? But, I mean, this is 2001. I was, like, I'm not gonna say how fucking old
just
I am, but...
babe.
I was just
a
little baby.
Just a tiny baby.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2001, you were just sitting in your crib.
Yeah.
Like, what were you going to do?
Exactly. Yeah. I was still a zygote.
Yeah.
I wasn't even fully formed yet. I had those, like, weird, stubby embryo hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You couldn't even hold a remote when your hands are that stubby.
Yeah. My mom
just sitting
and
just a little zygote sitting on the couch. And you're like, turn the channel.
I've got like
it's Buffy, like, time. I gotta watch my stories.
Like the baby from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like, hey,
yeah,
cats, like chomping a cigar.
Yeah, you're chomping on a tiny little cigar.
I'm slapping my nurse's ass.
Oh God,
what a good movie!
It's a great movie. I love Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Classic.
Yeah, cartoons are not, like, for kids aren't pervy enough anymore.
No, yeah, that's true.
I feel like, I guess it's because we have other things, but, like, I miss perv cartoons.
Yeah. What other perv cartoons do you miss, Kate?
I mean, Bugs Bunny, super pervy.
Just because he gets into women's clothing.
The Muppets aren't, I guess, animated. But, like, I guess children's television when I was younger felt kind of pervy.
They definitely had a level, there's a word for it, I forget, but when there's, like, one joke, but there's two different levels of the same joke.
Oh, yeah, like a double entendre.
Yeah, kind of, but for, like, a punchline, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, like, the kids get it, but then the adults get something a little bit extra. The one that I always reference is there's a scene in Rugrats when... Chucky does something, and the adults come in and see what he's done. And then it cuts to him saying, are you sure your parents are okay? I've never heard them use any of those words before. Like, as an adult, you realize that they were swearing at this little baby.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Swearing at babies. Yeah, like, it was okay. You can't swear at babies anymore because of...
No, yeah, because of...
Yeah. You can't swear at your little baby zygote.
Yeah.
Oh,
Lord.
So, okay, so should we talk about the Buffy bot?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I will say this, though. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I will say this. Sarah Michelle Gellar puts in the work. Yeah.
She really does. It's great.
Really does.
And there's a fake out at the end, which is great. Such a good fake out.
Good stuff.
Okay, so Spike has Warren build him a Buffy robot for, like, fighting/sexy times.
Mm-hmm.
So, like... It's like, oh, Spike, you're so strong. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fight you, but it's not working. Yeah. Like, and then she, like, pulls a stake out and, like, pretend, like, she's almost going to stake him. But then she's like,
oh, I could never hurt you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so muscular.
You're rippling, muscles.
And, like, you know, of course, what's going to happen is Spike's going to lose track of the Buffy bot.
Mm-hmm.
And so Buffy, the real Buffy, is in Joshua Tree. And the Buffy bot is wreaking havoc all over Sunnydale, confusing all of her friends.
Yeah. Xander and Anya see Buffy bot and Spike going to town on each other in the graveyard. And that's what, you know, trips off the whole... What is it called? Oh, my God. When you're in, like, a comedy of errors. Thank you.
A caper? Okay. Oh, yeah.
I thanked myself for remembering that word.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Leslie. You're brilliant.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I think it's funny that Tara, when Xander and Anya are about to, like, say what Buffy has done, Tara's like, well, guys, listen, grief is a weird thing.
Yeah.
It makes you do weird stuff. You know, when I lost my mom, I was doing all kinds of crazy things. And then Anya says, Buffy boinked Spike. And Tara goes, she's fucking nuts. Like,
yeah.
That's absolutely the one thing that's unacceptable.
The scene is so crazy, too, in the graveyard. Like, Spike's lying on the ground and Buffy just, like, we're to believe, by Buffy just, like, lifts her skirts up.
Yeah.
And then is just, like, banging him in the graveyard.
Just
which, like,
going to
that
town.
Is what one does when one bangs in the graveyard.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I wouldn't want to do... What is your favorite position for graveyard banging, Kate? I feel like you have a not a joke answer for that.
I've definitely had sex in a graveyard before.
Yeah.
But I believe it was just sort of like... It's funny that I am giving Buffy and Spike a hard time because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I did in the graveyard.
On top.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to be in the graveyard.
Yeah, you don't want to get your hands dirty, you know?
Yeah. You could also just, like, if you're someone who doesn't have crushing Catholic guilt, you could probably just, like, lean up against a
headstone.
Gravestone.
Yeah, I love that.
Or like
a tree.
Yeah, I mean, a tree is fine. A tree, I don't have any Catholic guilt about. But I totally...
You didn't see
like...
Superstar with Molly Shannon then?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I actually haven't.
It's
but...
a good joke.
Oh, man.
All right, you know how I have a list of all the shit that you keep telling me to watch?
Yep.
And I will never do it. There's one for you. There's one for your list. Yeah.
I think my mom, believe it or not, my mom has it on like VHS.
Yes.
I think she watched it a lot.
Oh, good stuff. So funny.
Oh, God. But yeah, I do think I think the Buffy Spike roleplay is funny, it's pretty diabolical. And like, I was thinking about how we're like, you know, because Warren is a character that is like irredeemable, you know, mm-hmm. you're just like, this motherfucker is disgusting. And then Spike does like the same thing and you're like, it's kind of funny. And I'm like, I should think about that.
Yes, the setup is uncomfortable and obviously very wrong, but the payoff in joke forms is very good.
Yeah. Yeah, so like chaos ensues. Oh, well, so in the meantime, Glory, if you forgot that she existed.
Oops.
Who like hasn't been around very much in a while.
Mm-mm.
She is looking for the key. And Ben, who is her brother, but she also shares a body with him, or something like that. Ben accidentally reveals that the key is a person to one of Glory's minions. And
yeah.
So now Glory has like all of her minions like looking at all of Buffy's friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that like Buffy's spending the most time with Spike, but it's not Buffy.
It's Buffybot, yeah.
It's Buffybot, and so they kidnap Spike and take him to Glory's extremely like 80s Art Nouveau apartment building.
Very like, yeah, the yeah, like the elevator doors and like the like red, black, and yellow stained glass window. I was like, that's very like Holy Roman Empire of you.
Yeah, Glory. it's wild. And her bed, I am correct. Her bed is round.
Yeah, just a big old, like, yeah.
Awesome.
Good stuff. I think it's funny. There's a little, like, technical oopsie that they do that I noticed.
Oh, yeah?
So Glory ties up Spike's hands behind his back. And then she punches the shit out of him through the wall. But you can see his hands, like apart, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, because whoever the stunt person was, obviously they needed to have their hands free to brace themselves from the impact.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was funny. It was like,
also such a funny way to get out of somewhere where you're like, I will taunt this god into pushing me through a wall so I can escape.
Can fucking just, yeah, get out of here. Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
But, I mean, I guess Spike knows, you know, he's a vampire, so, like, even if his bones break, like, they'll heal pretty fast.
Yeah, already survived that sewer demon bite. That fucking thing bit him, like, through the torso.
Yeah, he's got, like,
shark,
that was bad.
A shark chunk taken out of him.
And he was just like, ow!
Yeah, like, owie! Oh, ow, God.
Oh, Vandy. I got an ouchie.
What if he was like that the whole time?
Yeah, what if he was like... Don, I've got an ouchie.
Owie, ooh. Like the fucking the Pillsbury Doughboy. Like,
yeah. Anyway, so.
Good stuff.
But yeah, he does a really good job of taunting Glory.
Yes.
I love like a strong, because I know I would be a horrible hostage.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, a strong hostage in, like, a TV show or a movie where, like, you're getting the shit kicked out of you, but you still, like, throw in, like, some witty banter.
Yeah, it reminds me of who does this really well is Oscar Isaac in Star Wars.
Mm,
he, like, gets his shit kicked in and then fucking Adam Driver just stares at him and then he goes, Oscar Isaac goes... So do you talk first or do you want me to talk first? Like what are we doing here exactly?
Yeah, I bet that's a direct like Whedonism.
Oh,
what I mean?
God.
Sorry to burst your bubble on
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, I
it
forgot.
Probably is. but yeah, she's when he says I know who it is.
He's oh yeah.
And he says it's like, the guy from The Price is Right. And then they're like, Bob Barker? So her minions are like, let's go get Bob Barker. And she goes, what's up, Bob Barker, you scabby morons?
Scabby morons, yeah.
And then he calls her the god of what? A bad home perms.
Bad home perms. Ooh. And she like touches her hair. Gets, she's like, what? No.
He gets like, real cunty with her.
He gets,
and it's great.
He reads her like a book.
And she's just like, fuck you! You're supposed to be scared of me! Yeah, and then he, like, goads her into punching her through a wall so he can escape and fall into an elevator shaft.
Yeah, I thought that was a good action-y scene. A good action-y
Yeah,
moment,
it was like,
you know?
They spent some money on that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Like, that's like you're right, that is like an action movie thing, yeah. To be like, I gotta get out of here as fast as possible, I'm falling.
Just throwing
onto the
myself
top of an
into
elevator.
The shaft, yeah.
Yeah, then I guess fighting ensues.
And the gang shows up because they were like, let's just look for the richest apartment buildings in this specific area that I saw one guy at one time. Just plot convenience
they
shit.
And they
like,
find it. Yeah, you're yeah, like, you what? Know. Okay, sure. They found it so fucking fast.
What if, like, that was like the 12th apartment complex that they burst into?
Yeah.
And all the others were just like an old lady with a shih tzu. And she's like, oh, my word. Jesus.
And then they see a bunch of guys in robes and
yeah,
they're like,
and then they're
this
like,
must
this
be the
was,
place.
Yeah, here we are. Finally.
I mean, I would say how many fancy apartment buildings are there in Sunnydale, but like, I mean, it's the largest city in the world,
in the history
so.
Of the world, yeah.
It's hard to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There isn't even a map of it. It's not possible to make
Mm-mm.
a map that big.
It just phases in and out of reality like Brigadoon.
Yeah. It's like Dark City for every time they go to sleep. They like rearrange the
Yeah. It's like a
the
roguelike.
City of Sunnydale.
Yeah. So they come in and save the day, save Spike's ass last minute.
Yeah. And the bot gets fried.
Oh yeah, that's that another like plot convenient mm-hmm. moment. She bashes her head into the buttons of the elevator, and that electrocutes her. I guess.
Yeah,
she,
you
like,
know how
lightly
buttons.
Taps.
You know how buttons of elevators are electrocuted for robots
you know
only.
You know when you summon an elevator and you get like 10,000 volts of electricity shot up your fucking arm every time? Yeah. It's like,
well,
man.
You wouldn't know that if you're not a robot, though. It just happens to robots.
Oh,
it's a robot
okay, I see, I
problem.
See. Interesting, yeah. Interesting, interesting.
That's why we don't know anything about it.
Yeah, okay. How do you know about that?
Because I watched this episode.
Oh,
Buffy.
Okay. You're not a robot, though.
Okay. Nope.
You have to
definitely
tell me
not.
If you are, like, legally.
Oh, yeah, it's like cops.
Yeah, you have to tell me if you're a bot.
Well, speaking of, that brings me to my favorite part of this episode, which is the fake out where Buffy. So the bot has been. Willow is, like, digging around in the bot, trying
like
to figure out what went
out.
Wrong with it. And she's like, I could fix this really easily. And they're like, what?
Like, really?
Why would you do that? And so they make you believe for 1 second that they all felt bad for Spike and gave him his fucking Buffy sex bot back.
Right.
Which is insane.
Because, like,
so
there's a moment towards the middle where Xander is like, first he was grossed out knowing that or thinking that Buffy was having sex with Spike. And then he does this weird thing where he's like, you know, I kind of get it. He's like compact,
like,
but like rippling
hose,
muscles.
You know, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, I'm not having sex with Spike, but it kind of sounds like you want to. Can we talk about that for a second? Like,
and then
they
and
just
then
drop it immediately.
A million fanfic slash fictions were born.
A thousand fingers from 5,000 keys were.
Yeah, just started tingling. Just, yeah.
I have to invent Tumblr.
Oh my god.
Oh lord.
So it seems like the sex bot has been sent back to Spike as like a gift from the Scoobies, which is so weird. And then it turns out that it is actual Buffy playing the sex bot that Spike realizes when he kisses her.
Like in Spider-Man.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, your lips are so warm.
Yeah, it's
oh,
like
no,
your
I just thought about Twilight.
Oh,
your
God.
Lips are cold. And you're impossibly pale. You have to tell me what you are.
Oh my god. Can't do it. Yeah, so what do you think is worse? If they sent the Buffy bot back to him as like a gesture of goodwill, or this? What this is?
The former.
Okay.
Because the latter, to me, is like Buffy just being like, fuck off, dude, but also thank you for saving my sister's
life.
Here's
a little smoocheroo.
Here's a little smooch. I mean, she had to smooch him so he knew it was really Buffy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because there's no other way.
Had to.
Both of them are a little iffy, but like the first one would be extremely weird to like send.
I wouldn't like, know.
Well, you can have the sex bot back,
I guess.
I mean, honestly, should we talk about, yeah, it's like the moral quandary of the sex bot. Like having a sex bot is fine. If you would like to purchase a sex doll or a sex robot, that's fine. But then do you think that the where it crosses the line is getting one made to the specifications of a person?
Absolutely. Without their knowledge or consent.
Right, without consent. Because you could get it made to like a porn star if
commodity that they are selling is their image. And they're like
their own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also not them. Like, Spike
they're not
this to be
really Buffy. Like, he got all these different files of memories and knowledge of her friends and stuff. Like, he wanted it to be as real as possible, which I think is yuck fest.
It is yuck fest, because like, yeah, like it's similar to like what they're doing is like very similar to like some sort of like role play kink, but it's not, because there's no consent from Buffy.
Yeah, this really is like, if you want to put a contemporary comparison, is like deepfake AI bullshit.
Yeah,
like there's so much of that prevalent on the internet now, so many like celebrities having their face put on a body and having stuff done to it. That's fucking repugnant. So like, yeah, this is just proto that. So the fact that like, yeah, you know, just bad, just gross all around.
Yeah. I think I just, yeah, it was like,
I have no problem with a bot. I don't have a problem with a bot.
No.
I don't even have a problem with having a bot be as much of a surrogate person as you want it to be.
Yeah.
But don't make it somebody else that they don't know about and would never agree to begin with.
Yeah, like, I think that person has to consent to be, like, they have to know and potentially make money from, like, that.
If they get an STD, do they have to go to the gynecologist or to, like, Geek Squad?
What kind of XTD? What kind of STD are you getting from a robot anyway, though? Do you think that they he like implants
malware
STDs into the He's like, this STD or this robot comes with syphilis. Like, he just like puts a little bit in there.
It's just like he downloaded a virus, and so now every time like he turns her on, she's like, join here for FanDuel fantasy football betting. You know,
oh God.
Or
she gets him addicted to betting.
I can't believe
online
it.
Betting. He's like, we don't even have sex anymore.
All you want to do is bet on the
just build fantasy football teams. Also, you know what? If you want a robot, if you want a friend robot to make a fantasy football team with, that's
again,
fine too.
Totally fine. Just
I mean, it's not. It's fine. It makes me a little bit like sad, because it is like, it is the loneliness of capitalism. You know, yeah, that is clearly. It's a real fucking bummer. But also if you're just trying to like live and get a small bit of joy.
Yeah, from a little your dopamine evening, hit.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't, you know, we all have to survive in our own ways. The guy who lived next, this is a real downer, but the guy who lived next door to us maybe a year or two ago died, like, in the house.
Recently?
And they were like, he died about a year ago.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
They were cleaning out his house, and there was this sex doll, like... half stuffed into like a trash bag.
Oh no.
And I was like, fuck, man, that is deeply sad.
Well,
you know, like, I don't know, this guy just passed away and they just like stuffed his sex doll into a trash bag and put it out on the curb.
I mean, what do you want?
I don't
what
know.
Do you
yeah.
Want, what is the alternative?
That sex
there?
Doll deserves half of his.
She gets alimony.
Of his estate. No, I don't know. No, I mean, I don't expect there... anything else.
That neighbor, this... Ryan Gosling.
The sex doll gets a sky burial.
Tibetan. Tibetan. Yeah. Sky, Tibetan. Why did I say Tibetan?
Tibetan. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Tibetan sky burial.
Yeah, it's in my will that my sex doll gets, like, a Viking burial.
Yeah.
Like they put
float
my
out
sex
on a
doll
river.
In a, on a raft mm-hmm. and then set it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's not like they were going to do anything else, but it's just, like, it's a sad
Yeah,
scene.
It's a sad image, you know?
Yeah, it like... was, like, a tangle of, like, shitty office furniture and a sex doll. And I was like, wow,
that says a lot.
It says a lot about just like how lonely people are.
Yeah.
And like how much we all work and don't have time to do anything fun. And,
yeah,
like,
don't have time to really foster relationships with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Wow, I thought I was gonna bring the pod down. But thank you. Thank you, Kate, for saving
You're
me.
You're welcome. Oh, man.
Do we have any other thoughts? Oh, one thing that I thought was neat.
Yeah.
Nicholas Brendon was out sick for one of the days that they shot.
That is neat.
And his twin brother substituted for him in a couple of scenes at the very end. Because he's listed in the credits.
That's like...
Like, how fucked
a
up...
A real-life sex bot.
Well, we've already talked about it because that episode
yes.
where Xander Glitz gets split in two is really his twin brother, and like yes. I couldn't tell when it was him.
No, I
there
thought
were maybe
that
one
were
or two scenes
like...
where I was like, oh, okay, that haircut's a little bit different or whatever. But, yeah, yeah, I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you what scenes he is in. Kelly Donovan is his name.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really fun though. In an episode where Buffy is like.
Is a, yeah, a double.
Is both
which
a,
they
wrote,
did,
yeah.
I do want to say that they did very well. There's one scene that's like a goof where the doll is lying on her side and Buffy is lying on the opposite side and she's like, we don't even really look that much alike.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it's literally like a shot or shot in shot.
Yeah, because she's like kind of like, ew, gross. Like, he did a bad job of like making this
yeah.
bot look like me.
So I thought that was cute.
Yeah, and they're all like, it's kind of a spitting image of you, Buff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good, I like, that's a much better fun fact to end on.
There we go.
I enjoy that.
Xander
and, like,
saves the day.
Yeah, Xander doubles.
Impossibly.
Buffy doubles, yeah. I thought it was just going to be that Xander was out sick and the cast got a reprieve from hanging out with Xander.
Oh, good stuff.
Well, I think, yeah, I think that covers it.
All right. Good.
Good.
Bye. I'm just kidding. Yes. So if you enjoyed this episode of Fangs for the Memories, please do us a favor and, you know, subscribe on your podcatching app of choice. You can follow our social media links. You can also subscribe to our Patreon, where we occasionally do off-topic episodes, just kind of shooting the breeze, talking about what's on our heart at that moment. We'll probably do another one coming up soon. I have a lot of feelings to share about stuff and things that I've seen. I'll probably tell my horrible date story.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah,
I don't want to. I didn't want to share it on the main feed because I think that person listens. So if that's not enticing enough, you can find all of the links to everything that is Fangs for the Memories related. If you go to your, if you hit up Bing, if you go to Ask Jeeves,
DuckDuckGo. That still happens. That's a thing still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit it up and go to fangs.zone. So get in the Fangs
zone. Yeah, turn on your modem.
Yeah. Bust out your Tandy 5000. Get on the internet. Ride with the console cowboys in cyberspace.
Make sure your mom's not on the phone.
Tell your mom to get off the phone. Stop talking with her friend Denise.
Yeah. Mom, get off the fucking phone.
God, we are skeletons. We are fucking
old. Really. I know. I gotta go to bed.
Yeah.
I gotta put my Vicks vapor rub on.
Yeah, right. I gotta, you know, slather myself in jellies just to, I gotta get into my special containment pod just to keep my body going. I gotta juice up every 8 hours and my blood turns into dust in my body.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. It's true. Whenever Leslie and I hang out, it's like a whole ordeal.
Yeah, I can't find
a booth large enough to put
my jelly hoses next to. I need my jelly hoses.
Oh my God.
That is going to do it for us here on Fangs for the Memories. My name is Leslie.
I'm Kate. We're a bunch of jelly hoes.
See you, suckers.